Sports, it's in the game on the Sports Podcasting Network. And welcome to Sports, it's in the game. Today, I am joined by Dwayne Rollins of Canadian Soccer News and Sports Podcasting Network. Dwayne, we are here to talk about one of your loves in your life, Football Manager.
Indeed. Yeah, there's been many a dark, rainy night where Football Manager has engulfed my entire life, like many people out there, and been the only love. You know, the cat's been trying to eat my head midway through the third season to try and get the team promoted. And finally, I realized that I need to feed the cat and myself. And that's Football Manager in a nutshell right there, Kevin.
There's a great book out there that's called How Football Manager Stole My Life. If you have a chance, read that book. It gives you a big idea of the culture surrounding that game, because that game over the year has become quite a trendy game, quite an actual culture in itself.
Yeah. Look, it's so, if you like sim games, to get into a video game talk, and I've always been a sim guy. Like, my favorite games of all time are like SimCity and Railroad Tycoon back in the day, if you remember that one. Like, tons of sim games that I used to grow up playing. And when I discovered this one, oh my God, my life was over. It merged my two loves, my love of simulation games and my love of football, of soccer. And it was just I discovered it really early too, back when I was a kid. The first version of this game came out in 92, I believe. And that's when I discovered it, and it's never looked back since.
It's the perfect game to understand the actual beautiful game in a different level, where you understand how to manage a team, the tactics, the formations, the roster, the transfer market, all those aspects. What is the one thing, Dwayne, that actually made you fall in love with the game to start with?
I think that it was back when I first discovered it again, and it was very simple. Like, I've actually seen on the computer, like, they now that you can go back and play those old games,
but emulators.
That's what I was looking for. Thanks. Emulators of it now, and it's so basic, and it's almost random. Like, back then, but even back then, it seemed like this amazing thing that was able to simulate the real world, that you could immerse yourself into the management of a professional team, and particularly someone who grew up as a bit of an Anglophile, growing up in Canada, allowed me to merge myself within the culture of England as well, albeit through my computer screen. I think that was really that immerseness was what – is that even a word? I don't know.
The ability
to immerse yourself into something was what I love so much about any sim game, but in particular this one as a sports guy. I just – love, like, it's pretty common for people to really get into, like, the general manager moves and kind of dream of being a GM. But back when I was younger, that wasn't so much a thing, but that was always my gig. Like, I instinctively knew I wasn't going to be the athlete because, you know, I played lots of sports kind of averagely, but this was kind of where I could make bigger role within the sports world. And I kind of dreamed of that way back when I was a kid. And this was just a way to get into it. And Football Manager is so detailed. Now, then it was less detailed. You sort of put your starting lineup there. You could sign players, buy players, sell players, all those sort of things you do in the real world. But it didn't have some of the insane details that the current versions of the game have, which is really what has made this go from like a fun little sim game to like this cultural phenomena, which it really is, in not so much in North America, although those that love it a lot. But in the UK, yeah, this is absolutely a cultural phenomena over there.
Can you explain for the listeners that never played Football Manager, basically the gist of it? In layman's term, what do you do? What's the basic goal of the game? And how do you control everything? Just quickly.
Yeah, you take over management of a team, any team. Not in the world, because there's lots of little leagues that they don't have in there. But nowadays, you can take over an MLS team. You can take over a team in Mexico, in any of the English teams. And we're not just talking Manchester United here. We're talking like teams in the conference. Like, you can go way down the pyramid. Like
Luton Town. You can manage Luton Town.
Exactly. And you buy players for them. You sell players from them. You try and make your man. You set up their training schedule. You put the formation together and you manage the in the game itself as well. So you're completely immersed within the management of a team, albeit simulated, of course. And you can, you know, there's just so many different ways you can play it, right? Like, you, there's people that like to just pick up their favorite team and just kind of play it on a basic level and see if they can win with them without making a lot of changes. And there's people that there's a way to play the game called Lower League Manager version, right? Where you go in and you follow these strict rules on these online forums about how you're a lower league manager, where you have to like treat it as authentically as possible to try and raise this tiny little team up from nothing to as high as you can get it. It's so incredibly detailed, and that's how you play it. It's hard to explain, really, right? Like, it's just so much there and so many different ways to play it. But the bottom line is that you are in complete control of a professional football team, soccer team, and that's just an amazing thing to do.
What's the first thing you do, Dwayne, when you first receive or download the newest version of Football Manager? Do you go into a new type of game mode? Do you try a new team? What is your go-to move when you first start playing the game?
I, as someone, and a lot of people will know this, but not everyone may. So I write about the game. I talk about the game all the time. So I generally, when I first get a new version of the game, pick a league that I've never played in before, because there are several leagues around the world that are available to you, and just randomly pick a team. Just maybe, like, sometimes I'll get like dice out, like a six-sided dice, and just like roll them to pick a team or something. Or you can, there's simulators online where you can pick a team for you, like anywhere in the world. And I do that because I like. The other thing you can do with it is you can learn about leagues. You can learn how leagues are structured. You can learn about teams in leagues, like the names and the players and the bet, because they're all real players.
Yeah.
You can learn about like how, what their cups are and things like that. So I like to play a new league. And that's generally what the first game I will load up and just start poking around with. And I generally don't do very well in those games because I don't know the leagues that well. And you just kind of lose. It's a tough game to win at sometimes, particularly if you have a team that isn't at the top. I also generally will pick, you know, leagues that are my favorite over the years and start a parallel game from there and sort of just challenge myself. Play an MLS game generally with TFC, which is my local team here in Toronto, because I know those players so inside out that, and I always have my own ideas of how that team can run better. So that's one way that a lot of people will play the game. They'll pick their favorite team and prove that they're better than the actual management, right?
Yeah.
I have won the MLS Cup with TFC before, so, you know.
You made the playoffs and you won the cup? Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And then I generally will play a game in England as well. Although I don't play with my favorite team in England because I find it a little bit dull to play with the very best teams in the world.
And you already know them too, right? You already know all the players. It's hard to be surprised by something.
Yeah, like the current game I'm playing right now, I'm actually playing a Scottish game right now. And I chose to play with Rangers, even though I don't really have a horse in that race between Rangers and Celtic and all that.
Outside of a Canadian horse and Fraser Aird, yeah?
Yeah, well, yeah, I sort of know Fraser Aird's career a bit, and he does start regularly for me and is one of the star players. But
nice.
The reason I chose that is because it's a bit of a challenge, because they were, of course, relegated because of financial situation a few years ago down to the lowest tiers of Scottish football and are trying to raise themselves back up. So I thought that would be an interesting sort of thing to go in and try and get them back up to the Premiership, which I just did a couple nights ago. And now I'm facing my first season in the Scottish Premier League with the new formed Rangers. So that's the type of game that I'm playing right now. But there's just, like I said, there's just so many different ways to play this game, and it's just so incredibly detailed that if you're a fan of the sport, it's really hard to put down sometimes.
The simulation and artificial intelligence aspect of that game are really interesting and surprising. If you talk to any Football Manager players out there, they all had weird stuff happen during one of their season. Players get into car accidents, there's drug busts, there's a lot of weird things happening off the pitch. Can you tell us one of your anecdotes from one of your Football Manager season? Anything weird happening to you in your club? Anything funny? Because if you do a Google search on Football Manager stories, you don't have enough 24 hours in a day to read them all.
Yeah, there's funny stuff for sure. I don't think I've ever had anything that or so. I've had people that have like been I don't think they have anything in the game where people died, but I have had like weird career-ending injuries that have happened. like, you know, your player was involved in an off-field incident and is, you know, out for 2 to 4 years. Like, weird stuff like that will pop up. But by and large, the AI is pretty good. But they do – the one area that a lot of people will complain about is the injuries. You do tend to get a lot of injuries when you're managing with this team, with your team, a lot more than you wouldn't in regular – in the regular world. I'm not sure why that is.
And I think it's to put some drama. Otherwise, it just gets tedious. They want to make sure it doesn't get too tedious and gives you something to do.
There's a lot of – I am more of a purist when it comes to the game. There are a lot of boards and cheats out there where there are – people will find players that are like these phenomenal they call them grays in the game. Like, they're players that that aren't real, that just the game produces so that you can keep playing for a long time. So there are grays that are get produced consistently by the game that have these phenomenal potential, and they turn into like the next Messies, right? So people will find them and they'll tell other people about them. So, you know, there's one way that people will cheat is they'll go and they'll find out who these big grays are and they'll go grab them. And
as soon as they become example, when you're 5-10 years into your manager career, there's a player that's like 18-19 years old in the game. He doesn't have good stats now, but the potential is high. When you know his name because you read it on the forum, it's easy to just snag him up for not a lot of money. And he becomes a huge Messi superstar, and you made either a great player or a shitload of money.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't do that stuff, but there's a lot of stuff out like that. I mean, in terms of funny stuff that's happened to me, to get back to your original question, it all relates to like stuff that's happened, not necessarily that I've been watching, but managing directly, but like the whole world simulates around you too. So you see other results come in, right? And I've seen like Canada make the semifinals of the World Cup once. I screen captured the hell out of that, let me tell you.
screen grab, print screen. stop, pause.
I believe that was in, I think that was in the 2009, I think, 09 Football Manager. I think I had that happen. So it was the 2010 World Cup. Nice. And it was Rob Friend. No, actually, it was further back than that. It was Rob Friend, the Canadian international, played for Mönchengladbach back in the day when they were in the B2. So way back when, like Mönchengladbach, for those who don't know, are now in the Champions League. They were in the lower, like below second tier of Germany at the time. And a Canadian was a huge goal scorer for them. And he scored like 12 goals. He had the golden boot in the World Cup. So that was one weird thing that I've seen happen before. I've had it, and I'm not the only one that's had this happen, had the 2022 World Cup awarded to Canada. Like, ooh. After it's been pulled from Qatar and given to Canada. I've seen that in a few different places, and that's happened to me in a version.
Is that premonitory? Hopefully, yes.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's interesting things that you see happen. I've seen like huge, massive clubs like Barcelona relegated, weird stuff like that. We're talking like 10 years into the future. Yeah. Some of the funnier stories you see, like if you go in the boards, I don't read the cheat stuff, but you can read the story stuff. And there's like this one guy that played, that simulated the game 10,000 years into the future. Like absurd stuff like that. I saw another guy that played with the same team for like 200 years and he had won like 180 titles and weird, like how he said that, and he did this like in a year. Like the guy told the story of how he would play the game like 12 hours a day every day. Wow. And he claimed to have a girlfriend, but I don't know how that's possible. It is a game that you can sort of play casually in the sense that you're not like, you know, manipulating the players themselves on the pitch. You're just sort of directed.
You can fast forward. You can choose how fast too. You can make it go faster, quicker. So you can do many years in a short time span.
Yeah, to a certain extent, yeah. You can skip right through the games and all that. And like, I mean, the new versions have different ways. You can get highly detailed versions of the game now where you get right down into, you know, having job interviews and things like that, or you can do kind of a more traditional streamlined version of the game, which I will play it both ways depending on how I want to play. But yeah, this guy, he claimed that he just walked around with his laptop all day and would just like click and then you let something simulate and watch TV and maybe have 3 seconds of conversation with your girlfriend, I suppose. And then, oh, wait, gotta see what's happening here. There's an injury. I got to make a sub. You're like, I will play it casually at night sometimes while I'm watching TV, but I don't think I would ever carry it around for 12 hours. I'm not that obsessed.
No, absolutely. Dwayne, do you have any tips or tricks for a new player that would start playing Football Manager after listening to this show? Where should he start to truly get the right vibe and the right experience playing Football Manager?
Well, it's It's a good game in the sense that if you have an understanding of the sport itself, you should be able to understand the tactics to play a tactical system that allows you to succeed. I'm not the most skilled player in Football Manager. There are people out there that know the tricks and the trades much better than I do, and certainly sometimes have found like there's weird formations that will sometimes do things that they probably shouldn't. So again, that's kind of a cheat. So to me, my advice to a new player would be to just jump in with something you're familiar with, so that you're not necessarily getting bogged down and trying to learn the players and all that. So grab, like, if you're an MLS fan, take your local MLS team, because you'll know kind of where the players fit and how their best player, and just naturally through real life experience. There are some purists out there that think that you should never bring real life experience into the game. I think that that's a little absurd, and those people are a little bit they've lost the idea that it's a game at that point.
They lost touch.
Yeah, but however, that would be my advice, is to take a team that you have real world knowledge of, so that you know you're not trying to learn by looking at the stats or the attributes of your player. You can sort of understand what the player is best at and try and just plug them in and tweak your formations around and just have some fun with it. You know, you can play with the big clubs in the world if you really, play with Barcelona if you want. I just find it dull because these teams just win and there's not a lot of challenge to it. And it's the challenge is beating them, not being them, in my mind. But certainly, you know, there's nothing wrong with playing with a big team. Another way that version that I played the game, and this people might get a bit of a chuckle out of this, and this is my own unique little bitterness at times. For those that don't know, I'm a Manchester City fan, have been for before the money even. So what I will do sometimes is I will pick Manchester United and I will drive them into the ground. And that is that is a fun way to play the game as well. Like it's a challenge too. It's actually a challenge because you – for those, so I don't think I've said this before, you get fired. Like, it's, you can't just, you will pick a team, and if you do a crappy job at it, they will fire you and you have to find another job. It's like you are simulating as a manager. So if you don't do a good job, you get fired. But anyway, so the challenge when you play the anti-win game is to take a big team and make them as bad as possible without getting fired. And when you do get fired, you want to have driven them so far into the ground that the new, like, simulated manager that comes in can't bring them back up. So I take great pride in being able to get Manchester United relegated. I generally get fired just before they go down or when they go down, but then I will do other things within the game so that the new guy has his hands completely tied and he can't really rescue them. So I bury them even further down after I'm gone. It's like the ghost of the bitter past comes back to haunt United forever. That's another way to play the game.
How do you sleep at night?
From driving United into the ground, I would sleep very well if I did that. I mean, it's life balance, right, in terms of these games. Like, I mean, I played it a lot more when I was younger. I still will get into habits now. Like, the 16 patch came out, or the demo came out recently, and I generally don't buy it every year because, you know, it's not expensive, but it's not free. And there's not a ton of tweaks between the years.
It's not like the graphics are better every year. There's no graphics. It's different.
Yeah, well, there's some, you know, yeah, there's an inter- the interface is, yeah, exactly. It gets prettier, but it's not like that's the important thing to do here. I will buy it every other year generally, and I mean, if you're a more casual player, like, it's more, the reason I buy it every other year is as much to do with player turnover as it has to do with actual like gameplay. I think that you could probably get away with buying it every 3 or 4 years for gameplay, but if you're a real stickler about the actual players, then probably every other year is a good way to go. So I will take a look at the demo, though, and Kevin and I, we talked about this. So I will download the 16 demo, and I'll play it a bit, and maybe we'll have another conversation in a week or two about the differences between 15 and 16 for those that really are into this game already or are interested in sort of learning the more details of the gameplay situation. We're sort of talking about the other stuff right now.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier SimCity and simulation game. What other games have made your introduction to the video game world? Doesn't have to be sports related. What are the games that you like to play either now, recently, 40 years ago? What are the games that you actually love to play?
Well, I wasn't playing any games 40 years ago, Kevin.
Yeah, I know. You know what I mean.
I'm not that old. I grew up in the 1.0 era of the consoles, right? Like, that's my jam right there. I am looking right now on my we have them displayed more as ornaments than anything else. I have an original Intellivision sitting up in front of me right now, displayed for all of its glory. It's a beautiful piece of 1980s merchandise there. We have a We have a Nintendo, original Nintendo. We have a PS1 out here as well. Those classic games, to me, are great. I mean, the simplicity of them are what all the great games today are basically based out of. I grew up playing sports games, though. I love the sports games, have for my whole life. In terms of the Sims, I named them already. I really love games that immerse you into a search situation and make you think and make you constantly have to grind them out. I play a lot of grinders now, too, on my phone, but I think I kind of consider them a little bit different. I loved SimCity original. As I already mentioned, Railroad Tycoon is a game that I really loved for a long time as well. There's the trucker simulation game that I played it for a while too. Like any of those games where you're immersed into something, as I said, and I'll try them all. But
the trucker simulation always scared me because I thought it looked too much like the movie Duel. And I was scared. I thought it was going to be a black truck chasing after me.
Yeah. You know, in terms of I've never been a big shooter fan. Maybe it's just because I'm not good at it, but
welcome to my world.
Yeah. It's in terms of, like I said, going way back when the first games that really hooked me, of course, is the NHL series, the EA games back there, like NHL 94, like many people I played the hell out of. I FIFA, the road to the 1998 World Cup, which is the first FIFA game.
You're the second guy in a row saying that Theo Gauthier, the last show, said the exact same game was one of his introduction to the world of video game was the Road to 98.
Yeah, the great thing about the Road to 98 is you can play with anyone.
Canada.
Yeah, you could. Well, there was also some, like any of those games back then, there were little quirks that you, like the J goal within NHL 94. We used to call it the J goal.
Oh, of course. You go from the right side to the left side and you shoot top corner.
Yeah, it would work every time. There were similar things that would work every time within the Road to 98. So eventually you could win the World Cup with the Cayman Islands if you wanted. But I played that a hell of a lot. You know, I used to like games. Like, I used to like the coin-op games back in the day. I was really good at, like, Pitfall and games like that. Track and Field. People remember Track and Field?
Oh, yeah, of course. I had the Track and Field pad. I had the running pad that I actually used to run.
I tell you what. I was very good at Track and Field. These are the coin-op days. Back when I was a kid, I used to – sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're listening. We used to have a coin thing where we'd put the money in and I would steal the quarters out of it and sneak to the arcade. But I had a theory. We figured out that if you took Band-Aids and you wrapped your three fingers together with Band-Aids so they're protected and in one thing, and instead of trying to do like the drummer, you went left to right, left to right, left to right with your three fingers tied up with Band-Aids all together, and that would make you go much faster in terms of you'd be able to consistently hit left, right, left, right, left, right, which was the key to Track and Field. And that technique worked very well for me. I used to, you know, I had many of the records, the world records, to the day they took that video game out of the arcade that I used to frequent. So that was a great game that I used to love playing as well.
Is there any arcade left in Toronto? That's a good question because I love arcade too. One of my favorite movies of all time is The King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters, where it depicts the Pac-Man and more the Donkey Kong competitive side of those arcade games. But I used to love going to arcades.
In terms of a place where you just go put a quarter in, no, not really. I mean, you can find – there's a couple bars in that have pinball machines and maybe some classic games that you might be able to play. But there is some places, and the names escape me right now, where they have the high-end games where, you know, the massive – like you have to pay $5 for 10 minutes. Like you can do that in a few places still. The other game I wanted to mention Commodore 64 games back in the day.
Those floppy disks.
The floppy disks, yeah. We used to play – there was a basketball simulating game. I don't remember the name of it. We found it somewhere. Like we were pretty big geeks and we'd find these games. That's how we found Championship Manager back in the day, and we used to play the hell out of that. And we went in and manipulated it. I played high school basketball, so we put my high school basketball team on there. And we play against the Boston Celtics and all that. So I don't know whether our stats were accurate. But
that's early mods. Doing early mods to games back in the Commodore 64 days.
And, of course, the Summer Games series. So Summer Games 2, the old, the triple jump and pole vault and all that where you go like left, right, left, right, left, right, back, forward, button, you know, that sort of thing.
Oh, that damn triple jump. I used to always miss the third one.
It was like,
you jump. All right. The angle's getting smaller and smaller. I just missed the third one.
I'm trying to remember my muscle memory. You used to go left, right, left, right, left, right to run it, right? So you get your speed up. And then you pulled back for the first jump. And you had to go forward for the second jump. And then I think you had to go right or left for the for the last jump. So it was like, there was a muscle memory involved to it. Yeah. And you had to hit the button when you were doing it. So you had to go forward button, back button, left button. And if you hit the timed it just perfectly, that gave you the more spring.
All right.
So those games were big for me too as well. Sports, there's a theme here, sports, right?
Yeah, no, sports, it's in the game. And it's just, that's the idea behind this show too, because there was no sports video game. And I'll give you credit, it was your idea. This show is your idea. And you said to me, Kevin, you should have a sports video game show, because that's all you do, first of all. And second of all, there's none out there. So it's true. And I think it really goes well with the network. A lot of the new sports culture, it's not just watch it, we like to play it, and it's hard to find 24 friends to play a game of American football outside, so it's a lot easier nowadays with those consoles.
Oh yeah, and we've talked about it on other shows how the games actually influence how young players play the games now.
Especially FIFA, especially FIFA and soccer.
Yeah, FIFA, because they think the game that way. They think the game, about the tricks that they see, they do on the video game, they try to do them out on the practice pitch, and I think that's a really interesting phenomenon that's only going to grow.
No, exactly. So, Dwayne, thank you very much for joining me on the third edition of Sports in the Game. You can listen to Dwayne about 10 times a week on the Sports Podcasting Network, Two Solitudes, Five Rings, SPN Roundtable, and a lot of the rest of the story and a lot of their shows. Dwayne, thank you very much.
Cheers.